Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Tet, and we're holding right at the beginning of the Halakha Perek. So we start today, Perek Rivi'i. Torah Bikalpi Ve'elesh Negarolot. The last thing that we learned was the placement of the Shnei Asirim. We brought them to the Mizrach HaZarah, they're facing the Eichal. And now the Kohen Gadol has got, as we said, Kalpi Hayasha. So he's got his little box in which we have two goralot, which we learned from the Pasuk, one la Hashem, one la Azazel. And he grabs at the box. And we're just going to explain, he grabs at the box because we don't want him to have any time at all to do any kind of sneaky feeling around on the goralot so that he can detect which one is la Hashem, which one is La'azazel, and that's because he's got a vested interest, as we explained, because it's part of his dignity that the Yamin should be Ma'ala the Shem, as we'll see. Anyway, so he grabs at him, so he doesn't have any chance, puts both of his hands in there at the same time, one comes up in one hand, one comes up in the other hand, and Echad Katuv Alav L'Shem, Echad Katuv Alav La'azazel, and remember that we had this Gan who was on his right, the Rosh Beit Av is on his left. Now, so if the Shem Hashem was the one that comes up in his right hand, so then, that's a very good sign, he's very happy for that, so then the one standing on his right, who is the Sgan, says, Yishi Kohen Gadol, Hagba Yimincha, lift up your right hand. Im Shoshem Alav Bismol, so then the Rosh Beit Av is on the left, says, Yishi Kohen Gadol, Hagba Simolcha. So that way everybody would be able to see that that was the correct goral. Netanana shnei asirim, so then he puts the proper one on the, in other words, each one gets its goral, the Shem al Shel whatever, and the Azazel on whatever. And then when he's putting the one which says the Shem Hashem, he announces as he's putting it on, he says, La Shem Chatat. Rabbi Shmuel says, he doesn't say the Chatat, he just says, La Hashem. And this time he also uses the Shem HaMeforash. So we're going to say this is the 10th time that he's using the Shem HaMeforash. And when he does that, because of this, Hein Onim Acharav, so because he uses the Shem HaMeforash, the people say, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Leolam Va'ed, as we said earlier. This is what started our whole discussion from the middle, towards the end of the previous parak, that Kishem Hashem Mekra, V'godol Elokeinu, and so on. So ask the Gemara, why does he have to, like, grab it? Torah Bekalp, I mean, what's wrong with that dignified taking out the goralot? Kihechid lo nechaven v'lishko. We don't want him injecting his own desire for the right-hand side to be the one that picks up the Shem Hashem. And not to give him any time to start feeling around, we therefore make him grab it. Oh, my Rava, this box that he had, the Kalpi, was made out of wood, and it wasn't made out of fancy metal or anything, and it was also not Mekudash. So it was just a regular Chulin box. It's a small box that had room only for two hands. And two hands were just what we needed for Echad Lashem and Echad Lazazel. Matki Floravina, I understand why you don't want to have more than two hands. That's in order not to give him any chance to move things around in there. I mean, if he puts in his two hands, then he's not going to be able to do very much. So it's this small, he can't move. But why does it have to be Shalchol particularly? I mean, we're bringing it into the Beit HaMikdash. It was something that would be nice for a mitzvah. Let's make it Kodesh. That way we'll pay for it out of the Trumas HaLishka and so on. Answers the Gemara, because we can't make it Kodesh. Because if we would, then it would be a Kli Sharet Shel Chol. And we don't want, basically, something that is a Kli Sharet. We don't want it to be made out of wood. We don't make a klisharis out of wood. Actually, it's really a machlokes. You know, we would discuss whether lechatchila they had originally made the menorah, maybe with wood. Okay, but this is not our sugya right here to worry about. Just remember that not everybody agrees to that. Okay, so who said you have to make it out of wood? So make it out of silver. So navde de kesef. And that way you could make it, or navde out of zahav, for that matter. That way you could buy it from the Trumas HaLishka, and it would have a din of Kedusha. Now, listen, the Torah doesn't want you to waste money, you know? HaTorah chosal mamonim shal Yisrael. If you're going to sit around paying money, good money, for a box, I mean, you're going to buy a golden box, a silver box. I mean, come on, what are you going to spend like $1,000 on a Movado watch? You got to be crazy. It's the same stupid watch as any other. So a box is a box is a box. So what do we need more than that for? How do we know that the Torah is chosal mamonim shal Yisrael? The Torah doesn't like Klal Yisrael wasting money. We know that, of course, from the other Masechah that we're learning, which is in the Goyim. So over there, the Torah says, we learn out so beautifully over there. The Torah says that Sivako enu pinayat abayit. Get everything out of the house. So the Gemara is medayik. What do you mean everything out of the house? It won't be so bad if it stays in the house. It'll become tamei, so put it in the mikveh, right? Okay, what's the big deal? Answers the Gemara, what amar chosa rachamana? What was the Torah makpid on? On kli cheres, that you can't put into a mikveh. But kli cheres are disposable dishes. So what this means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makpid not to waste money on new disposable dishes. So the Gemara makes a kal v'chomer. If the Torah is makpid, even on Rishoyim, because, I mean, after all, if we're going to be making his house into a mokum tuma, it's because of the fact that he doesn't have good midas, and that was the reason that the house was tummy in the first place. Remember, Mitzorah, Tzoras Ayin, etc. And nonetheless, the Torah doesn't want to waste enough money to buy a little bit of throw-out dishes. So Allah has kama v'kama. The Torah doesn't want wastage of money from the tzibur, from tzaddikim, from the Beis HaMikdash. So why should we buy something that we don't need? That's what it means. Anyway, Matnitin, so now the question over here is that apparently this Mishnah, the way we have it arranged over here, is not going according to the Baal HaMachlokes, because here, take a look at the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shum Rabbi Eliezer, it was not the Kohen Gadol who put his two hands into the Kalpi. He learns, Rebbe Eliezer, that the Sgan and the Kohen Gadol both put their hands, their right hand, into the Kalpi, and each one takes out one of the Goralot. And if the Goral, Lashem, came up in the hand of the Kohen Gadol, so imbi mino shel Kohen Gadol ole, so then the Sgan tells the Kohen Gadol, ishi Kohen Gadol, my master, the Kohen Gadol, you were Zeiche, Hagba yemincha, lift up your right hand. It didn't come up in his right hand. But what about if it actually did come up in his right hand? Imbi mino shosgan ola. So then the Rosh Beit Av says to the Kohen Gadol, daber milecha, because look, I mean, he can't, it's only the Kohen Gadol who can say the words Lashem or Lashem Chatat, depending on what shita you hold. So he therefore still going to have to say at the time that we put on the one Lashem, he's the one, even though it didn't come up in his hand, he's the one that's still going to have to say Lashem. So even though our Mishnah holds that it's the same person, it's going to God puts in both hands, clearly the Rebbe Eliezer, Alibi de Rebbe Yehuda, does not hold that. Hey, it's a little bit funny, though. What Rabbi Yehuda says is that this Gan says to the Kohen Gadol, speak. The Rosh Beis Av says to the Kohen Gadol, speak. I mean, what's the difference whether the Kohen Gadol was the one who got the actual shame in his hand, or the Gan got the shame in his hand? The one who's going to be speaking is the Kohen Gadol, right? So if this Gan is the one who tells the Kohen Gadol to speak when it came up in the hands of Kohen Gadol, why should it be the Beit Av who's telling the Kohen Gadol to speak just because it came up in the hands of the Gan? I mean, if this Gan was the one who was speaking, I understand that somebody's going to tell him to speak, but it's not this Gan who's speaking. It's the Kohen Gadol who's speaking. So then name a lay's Gan. This Gan could still, the rest of the ritual over here could be exactly the same. This Gan would be able to say to the Kohen Gadol, say what you need to say. It would be still be the Kohen Gadol would be saying Lashem. Yeah. But still, given the lo solik biyada, I mean, let's look at it from a human point of view. The Shem Hashem didn't come up in the hands of the Kohen Gadol, right? So he's feeling right now very much low. So he's got Chalisha Sadas. So if you're going to have the actual Sgan in whose hands it did come up, for the Sgan to tell him, okay, Kohen Gadol, my master, you speak, is like really a punch right in the solar plexus. You don't want to hear it from him. And, you know, especially where there might be a little bit of sarcasm. All right, master, no, say your words. That's all you got to do is you got a couple of words. So because of that, we don't give it over to the Sgan to say. It would be Chalisha Sadas for him. Okay, anyway, what's basically the machlokas over here between the way our Tana understands it, which is that the Kohen Gadol should be the one who puts in both hands, and the way Rabbi Eliezer understands it, at least Alibi Rabbi Yehuda, who says that each one of them puts in a hand, so put my kamiflage. Well, look, I mean, what Rabbi Eliezer was saying, Alibi Rabbi Yehuda, is basically he wants two right hands. That's the point. So, I mean, it, basically what he's saying is that he'd rather have the Yamin, even though that Yamin is the Yamin of this gun, than to have the Kohen Gadol do it, because in the Kohen Gadol, it would be his smoke. And because of that, it's Kedai to have the two right hands in there. Masha Ein Kein, the Tana of the Mishnah, it's Mar Sovar. No, that question, the Chashivas vis-a-vis the Shem Hashem, it's the same. Because, in other words, it's true that Yamin is more chashev than smol, but it's also true that a Kohen Gadol is more chashev than a Sagan. So, since it's the same, ki hadani ninu, so therefore we have the Kohen Gadol do it, because that's basically is the way it's supposed to be done. Everything is being done. According to the way the Pasuk is mashma, al yidei the Kohen Gadol. Who is the Tana, basically, that is our Mishnah? I mean, over here, all that we saw was the way Rabbi Yehuda was explaining Rabbi Eliezer. But do we know exactly, can we identify the Shita of the Mishnah that we're saying over here is the Stam Mishnah? It's Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim. Tanya, Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim says, what is the purpose of having a Sagan over here? The purpose of a Sagan is always, and there's two approaches that, well, you know, let's first just see what it says, then we'll talk about the approaches. The purpose of the Sgan is she'im e'rabo psul, b'kohen gadol nichna Sgan u'b'shamesh tachta. That basically, the Sgan does not do a thing. And the idea over here is, so that we put him there is only for one purpose. The purpose is that he should be a constant reminder to the Kohen Gadol about Tumah v'Taira, and that he has to be very careful because there's somebody who is waiting to take his place. So in other words, I mean, if the Sagan at this point was there because he's going to be putting his right hand in, then this is the most ridiculous place to start describing to me why is there a Sagan. So if we're telling you over here that why do we put the Sagan there, so then it's got to be that he's saying there is no other purpose to the Sagan. And therefore, it must be that the Kohen Gadol is the one who put in both hands. So that's the pashtus of the sugya. Now, the question is, what is the language exactly, what it means? Why is the Sagan? Lama Sagan mimino. So Rashi brings that there's another girsa that says Lama Sagan mimune, not Lama Sagan mimino. So why do we have a Sagan at all? Okay, that's a different girsa. And the other approach is, indeed, why is the Sagan always walking along on his right? Which is more of the pashtus of the sugya here, because if the reason the Sagan was miyamino was so that the Sagan would put in his right hand, I mean, we wouldn't have asked the question here. So the girsa that we have is actually a nicer girsa in terms of the sugya, and it would be, Rashi brings also, in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, he brings a pshat that it means to remind the Kohen Gadol and to get him nervous about it. Okay, anyway, there is a very good reason, as we mentioned earlier, for the Kohen to have a vested interest in the Goral coming up to the right. And that is because one of the simonim of the Hashras HaShchina and the Chashivas of the Kohen Gadol's Aveda was defined in that way. Take a look at this Brighta that talks about the amazing things that always happened every year during the long period that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol. And that, we said, that was the time that we had that unbroken Kohen Gadol, and there were these tremendous Nisim that would come up all the time during those 40 years. Shishimesh Shimon HaTzadik. So one thing was the Goral always, without exception, came up in his right hand.
Okay, so Rebbe was holding the bottle in his right hand. Why did Rebbe put it down? That was such a good sin.
Okay, thank you. So apparently it's a very chashuv simon to be the girl Ola B'yamin. Mikan ve'elech, but after the time of Shimon HaTzadik, then it depends on the madrega of the Kohen Gadol. So sometimes it was Ola B'yamin, and sometimes it was Ola B'smol, and you never would know. Another thing, as long as Shimon HaTzadik, for those 40 years, the Lashon Shel Zohorit always was Malbin. So remember that they had the Lashon Shel Zohoris that was tied Ben Akronot of the Azazel, and that Zohoris is very bright red, and it would be by a nes, based on the Pasuk, Kashelag Yalbino, it would be B'derech Nes, if the Kohen Gadol had us on a Madrega, and Klal Yisrael was attaining Kapora on that Yom Kippur, it would turn white. So during the time of Shimon HaTzadik, every year it turned white. But afterwards, Famim Malbin, Famim Eino Malbin. Another nes was during the time of Shimon HaTzadik, the Ner Ma'aravi was always found to be still lit the next morning. Remember the Ner Ma'aravi, we had a machlokas about whether the menorah was placed north-south or whether the menorah was placed east-west. If the menorah was placed east-west, the Ner Ma'aravi was the, strangely enough, and this we learned out, remember before, that the Ner Ma'aravi was the second one in towards the left, not the first one, which is the east, but not the last one either. So it was called Ner Ma'aravi. If it was north and south, so then Ma'aravi doesn't make much sense. And there, because they were all on the same level, obviously, in terms of east-west orientation. So over there, the Gemara said, Ner Ma'aravi means that all of the Ptilot that were in the Neirot were facing towards the middle, and the Ner Ma'aravi was the middle that was facing towards the west. So it would sort of be a channeler of the or of the Mizbeah. But anyway, one of the Simonim, because it says Eidut, it calls the Hadlokas Aneiros and Eidus. So what is the Eidus to Yisrael? That the Shekhinah was Shira B'Yisrael, and that they would find always that it was remained lit, even though everything else had gone out, but that showed the presence of the Shekhinah. It, of course, became the minhag to have the Ner Tamid that we have to show that kind of idea. But in any event, it would depend on the Madrega of the Kohen Gadol. So during the time of Shimon HaTzadik, it would always be lit the next morning. But after then, it depended on the Madrega of the Kohen Gadol, and Mikan ve'elech, sometimes Pamim Dolek, sometimes Eino Dolek. Another thing was that the Eish Shel Ma'aracha during the 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik was always Mitgaber on its own, so that it came, the Eish B'lamala would burn and would make it certain that you didn't need to add wood to the Mizbeah. Lo ayu kohanim tzrichim lahavi etzim l'ma'aracha. Of course, I mean, obviously, Shnei Gizrei etzim, that, of course, they did. After the Ma'arach in the morning, there were Shnei Gizrei etzim, that's a chiyav. The Shnei Gizrei etzim in the afternoon as well, where there's no din of resetting the Ma'aracha. So over here, they didn't bring any wood all day long, except for the Shnei Gizrei etzim in the afternoon. That was only like we had learned out. Remember, we had the two times that it was mentioned, and that brought us the understanding that we need to bring twice the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim. Okay, so what it means over here was, therefore, how much wood do you need to add during the day? Mikan ve'elech, but after Shimon HaTzadik, sometimes they had to bring a lot of wood. So pa'amim it would be Gaber, but Pamim would not be Mitgaber. And because of that, the Kohanim would have to bring Eitzim L'Ma'aracha Kol Hayom Kulo to keep it burning. Another thing that was during the 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik, Nishtalcha B'racha Be'omer B'Shtei Alechem U'B'Lechem HaPonim. Remember, these are karbonis that is very, very difficult to get enough of it. to be able to spread out among all the Kohanim, is only Shtei Alechem, and they had to be spread between all the Kohanim of all the Mishmaros that came for Yontav, and the Omer was even less, and then we had the Lechem Aponim, we only had 12 challahs for everybody, you know, and nonetheless, during the time of Shimon HaTzaddik, there was a tremendous bracha, so that there was everybody could receive a whole kezias, which didn't make sense, because how could you possibly be enough for it? But everybody did. And kol kohen shemigio kezias, sometimes this depended on the madrega of the kohen himself. Sometimes he would eat the whole kezias and he would feel miraculously full, and some would he just eat a little bit and they would leave over. This was like lembas, you know, you would eat it and that was it. You had enough to go for 40 days. And that was wonderful. But mikan ve'elach, after the time of Shimon HaTzaddik, nishtalcha me'ira ba'omer b'shtei alechem b'lechem aponim, then it was like, you know, there was no longer that brocha, and it was like it was cursed. It didn't have any more kayach to be masbia. And any kohen, I mean, he's lucky over there to get the size of a pole, which would be the bean. And over there, when that would happen, people that were tzanua, they didn't want to take when there wasn't enough for everybody. And they felt that people are competing. They're not interested in competition for food. They would be moshkim et yideihem. They would refuse to eat it, they refuse to take a chelek of it, and let others learn have it. That way maybe there would be enough for somebody to be mekayim the mitzvah, to eat either the shir v'kezayis, which is the kiyum, or at least a chelek that is masbia. But the gargarim, not limochlim, people that were gargarim, they wanted to have their piece of the action, you know. So they would dafka go out of their way to grab it, you know. They wanted more. And obviously it was all Hashem Shemayim. There should be enough for them to eat, to be yotzei. It's always to be yotzei and to have a chelek in the achila. But because of that, they would compete and they would grab. And noting that it was actually once a maysa of one guy that was needed so much to be sure he had a shear that he was not a chelek v'chelek chaveiro. He took the next guy's piece. V'kayu korinoto ben chamtzan. They called him the ben chamtzan. How would you call a chamtzan? I mean, it's more than just a robber. It's a guy that takes things away from other. So they call him a ben chamtzan. Ad Yom Moto, he defined himself for life. Ben Chamtzan is the same idea of a bar mitzvah, you know. A ben to mitzvahs, a ben Torah, a ben Chamtzan. Omar Rabba bar Pshila. How do we see that chometz, the lashon of Chamtzan, is the word that we use from people that viciously will take from others? Because it says in the Pasuk, Elohai palteni miyad rasha, Mikaf me'avel v'chometz. You see that David HaMelech is looking for like a really vicious word of those that were after him. So these were people that are ma'avel and they're chometz. They do avla and they take other people's money. Rava says me'ocha, limdu heitev dirshu mishpat ashru chamutz. What is ashru chamutz? Chamutz is the victim. So in other words, that means protect the victim. And that's Ashru Chamutz, but not Ashru Chometz. Don't support the guys who do, like today. You know, it sounds like a nonsensical diak in the pasuk, but it's a very important pasuk today because everybody, of course, is after the victim and support the people that are victimizing. So actually, we find Yeshayahu HaNavi saying, how about for a change supporting the real victims, maybe? So, Ashru Chamutz v'lo Chometz. And meanwhile, we see the Lashon of Chometz is, in fact, a ben Chamtzan, a guy who takes, who victimizes others. Even though some say that this doesn't belong here, because the Lashon of Ashru Chamutz v'lo Chometz is Nogea, only the Sugya in Sanhedrin, as Rashi points out. But basically, we're looking to show the Lashon of Chometz and Chamtzan. So it's a nice quote, right? Because it's showing you that there is a diak in the word of Chometz. Anyway, Tana Rabbanan, Otar Shana, Shemeit Bar Shimon HaTzadik, the year that Shimon HaTzadik died, he said to them who were there on Yom Kippur, Bishana zo hu mate. He, referring to himself, but he didn't want to say himself, but he's going to die this year. Omrulo me'ayin atayudea. Omar lahem, because something terrible happened to me this Yom Kippur. Every other Yom Kippur in my life, when I went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Hayam izdamen li zaken echad levush levanim ve'atuf levanim. I had a simon of the Shekhinah that was coming in with me and left with me, and it was like the Adam Kavayochol that was on the Merkava, and that was a sign that the Shekhinah was going to be with me. And he came in and he walked out. Today, when I walked into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was a Zaken dressed in black clothes and wrapped, his head was wrapped in black, and he only came in with me, but he didn't walk out with me. So then it was as if my life was not going to continue for long. So therefore I know that I'm not going to make it. And indeed, right after Sukkot, Achar HaRegel, Chalosh Shivas Yomim, he got sick, Shimon HaTzadik, for 7 days, and he died. V'nimnu, from then on, Echav HaKohanim did not want to use the Shem Hashem, and they wouldn't usually, up until that time, even in the Birkas Kohanim, Ayadei the Kohanim Pshutim, who were the Hedyotas, who knew the Shem Hashem, they would refuse to use the Shem Hashem, and the Brocha they held were no longer Ro'i, without Shimon HaTzadik, to have that level of Ashras Hashkina. Tana Rabban, 40 Shana Kodem Churban Habayit. During the entire 40 years right before the Beis HaMikdash ended up being destroyed, there never once was a time that the Goral came up in Yemin. So this was the exact opposite of the period of Shimon HaTzadik. V'lo ayala shon shel zorit malbina, never once happened that the bright red should turn white. V'lo ayala ner maravi doleg, it never happened that they found the ner maravi lit in the morning. And even worse was Hayu Daltot Aichal Niftachot Me'alayam, the doors would suddenly open up on their own and squeak open. Until finally Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai couldn't take it anymore. And he was goer to the Eichal's doors. And he said to him, enough! Eichal, enough! Bibnei Mata Mavit Atzbecha, what do you have to scare yourself for? Believe me, we already know. Yodea Ani Becha Shesofcha Atid Leicharev, because already Nitna Be'alecha Zecharia Ben Ido, the Ptach Livanon Dilotecha V'tochal Eish Barazecha. I understand what you're being merames to, that the Eichal should open up its own doors and let it be eaten by fire. And that was, of course, a simon to the Goyim, that it was already a building that had been burned for all intents and purposes, and they were just going through the motions, but it was the Eichal itself that was inviting destruction. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak ben Tavlai, why indeed do we have the Livanon being used as the word for the Beis HaMikdash? Ptach Livanon de la Techa. That's because, Lama Nikra Shmo Livanon? Because of this idea of the Malbin. This is Mamish Lashon Zurit, that would turn Lavan. So the Beis HaMikdash was the Mekor of that which turned our Averes, Malbin Avonoteyem Shal Yisrael, it turned them all white and brought us Kapora. Omar Rav Zutra Bartuvia, why do we find the Beis HaMikdash called a Ya'ar? Because it says Ya'ar HaLevanon. It just doesn't only use the Lashon Levanon, but we find that in Melachim, when Shlomo HaMelech is building, it refers to the Ya'ar HaLevanon. And that, the Gemara holds, is at least a remiss to the Beis HaMikdash. Lomar Lecha Ma Ya'ar Melav Lev Av Beit HaMikdash Melav Lev. This again is another sugya that we had before in Shkolim. And this is to tell me that the Beis HaMikdash was actually a blooming tree. The Omar of Hoshaya, B'sha'ah Shebana Shlomo Beit HaMikdash, Natabo Kol Minei Megadim Shel Zahav. Shlomo HaMelech had planted all types of beautiful golden fruit trees, and planting the gold actually grew from the ground. Vayumotzim Perotem Bizmaneyem. These trees acted as if they were biological entities. They brought forth these golden fruit at the correct time for the particular fruit that it represented. Whatever the real fruit would be, it would actually come out at the same time when it was made of gold. And a wind would blow gently, and these beautiful gold fruit would fall off. Shnema Yirash Kalvanon Pirio. It's obviously another beautiful siman in Tehillim for the fruit that would rustle. It would be like the fruit in the Beis Hamikdash, which is the Lavanon. Omehen Aita Parnasa LeKohanim. The Kohanim, this was made to fall, Min HaShamayim, to the ground. There was apparently no Me'ila on it. And the Kohanim were allowed to be misparnes from it. The moment that the Goyim walked into the Eichal, it dried, and it all became desolate. Yafshu. Shenemaru Ferach Levanon Umlal. You see consistently that this is referred to as the Levanon in the Beis HaMikdash, and the trees are referred to as a Yar or a Ferach. This is true across the entire Tanakh that we use this Lashon. And so the Perach Levanon was a left alone, devastate. V'atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu lachzira lanu, but we're going to get them back. Shenemar poroach tifrach v'tzagel avjil afranein kvod ha-Levanon nitana. Once again, here Yeshayahu is now referring to the Levanon again, and the kvod ha-Levanon, now we understand what the reference is to. Nitanano shnei asirim. Now getting back to the Seder of the Mishnah. So the Kohen Gadol would put them on the two Sirim, one Lashem and one Lazazel, but when he was putting on the Goral that was Lashem, he would use the Shem Hashem and he would say Lashem Chatat. Tanu Rabbanan. Eser pe'amim mazkir kohen gadol bet Hashem bo bayom. If you add up now with this Mishnah, we now end up with 10 separate mentions of the Kedushas Hashem on that day. Three of them were in the first vidui, because remember, we start off with the Ona Hashem Chatasi, Ona Hashem, which is Kaper, and then we also say Lifnei Hashem Titaru, which is the pasuk that we say at the end, that he's Mashlim, and that is the third. So we have three for the first vidui of the par, and then we have three for the second vidui of the par, and then we have three. We use exactly the same lashon, Ana Hashem, and then Ana Hashem Kaper, and then Lifnei Hashem Titaru. The third time we do those three is on the Sariyah Mishtaleach, and now we just, that's nine, and now we get one that we just read over here in our Mishnah, which is Echad on the Goralot, and that they're also number 10. And that was once, it was even Kfar Omar Hashem, once it happened, that the Goyim Gadol said the Shem Hashem, and you could hear the sound of the Shem, which was all the way out in Yericho. Omar Rabba Bar Bachana, Mirushalayim LeYericho is Eser Parsaot, which is an enormous amount of space, right? So Ezer Parsaot is like 80,000 Amis. And nonetheless, they were able to hear the Shem. Vitzir Daltota Echal, just the sounds of the creaking of the hinge could be heard at least a Shmonet Chumei Shamat, that was 16,000 Amis away. And the goats that were in Yericho were affected by the Haktoras, and they were mitatshot mireach Haktoras, from that far away. And the women that were living in Yericho, I mean, you're talking about like, what, 30 kilometers away over your minimum, right? That's 80,000 Amas. So that's far away. And then nonetheless, they did not need to use any kind of perfume because the entire area was permeated by the Reach HaKeteres, and Akala in Yerushalayim, even though Akala usually requires more than just the ambient Reach, so they usually put on a lot of perfume, but in Yerushalayim, Einat Tzricha Litkashet Mireach HaKeteres, there was such a deep smell from the Keteres. And Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Duglai, that my family, my father had these goats, Baharei Michvar, it's different Lashonis over here, which is not clear. So anyway, here it says, some of the Rishonim says we're talking about all the way to the Gilad. And these goats would actually sneeze at the time of the Haktoras Haktoras, they used to sneeze because of the Reach Haktoras. I once met this guy, this old man, and Sakli Zakein Echad. He said, I once went on a tour with Barnea to Shiloh, and Pamachat Alakti LeShiloh, Veirachti Reach Ketoret Miben Kotalea. I was able to still pick up the smell of the Ketoret from that was so had been so absorbed by the walls of Shiloh that you could still, it's almost the earth there more, 1,000 years later, and I still am able to smell it. So now the question is, we're talking about the chiyuv of the hagrola. Is that chiyuv of the hagrola, is it ma'akev or not? We know that only the hagrola, that the lashon of the Gemara is that the hagrola is koveya ve'ein hashem koveya. So, I mean, what would happen if, instead of doing the goralot, the Kohen Gadol just selected one? And he said, this is the one that's going to be Lashem. So, I mean, would that work or not? So, as a little bit of background to this, you need to know that there's a big machlokas about understanding the nature of chukah. Remember that the Torah says chukat olam, and we have a klal. Wherever the Torah says chukat olam, that means it's ma'akev. And anything that you change from what's described in the psukim upon which chukah refers, that would be ma'akev, and it would have to be redone correctly. You would not be yot. So now we have a big machlokas that we're going to see later on between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia about how much chukah is ma'akev. And there they're talking about doing things in the wrong order. So the Seder is part of what it says, chukah. Over there, Rabbi Nechemia says that anything that is included in that set that chukah was set on, now the chukah was set on over there, on the things where it had said that the Kohen has to change into his big day lavan. Therefore, says Rabbi Nechemia, anything done with big day lavan would be me'akev, and the Seder would be me'akev, and every last detail would be ma'akev. I don't care where it is that this is being done, whether it's being done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's being done in the Heichal, it's being done in the Azorah. And remember, of course, as we just learned, that the Goralot were done in the Azorah. Of course, they were done by Big Day Lavan, because the Torah says specifically that then he should go al Shnei Asirim and do the Goralot while he's wearing those Big Day Lavan. So according to Rabbi Nechemia, apparently that would mean that it would certainly be ma'akev. That's what it seems to be. But according to the Shita of Rabbi Yanai, that would be mashma, because he says that only the things that were going to be done inside are ma'akev, the big day lava, not everything. So now the question is, what would be the halacha over there between these various shitas that we have? Between the various shitas that we have. So let's see. First, we have a machlokas amoraim. So the machlokas amoraim is Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai says it is ma'ake. Aliyat goral mitoch kalpi is ma'ake. But putting down the goral, that's not ma'ake. So you do have to do the goral, but you do not, if you didn't actually take out the goral and put it on, that is not the literal meaning of what the pasuk is saying is ma'akev. So it's to put the goral means to do the goral. Rabbi Yochanan says even doing the goral is also not ma'akev, and even if you would be kerei the shame without a goral, and the Kohen Gadol just arbitrarily decides which one is supposed to be l'shem, it wouldn't make any difference, it would still be kosher. Now, this seems to be an expression of the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia that we spoke about before. So I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that dvorim anasim bebig day lovan mibachutz lo makva. The only time, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it says chukah, even on big day lovan, is if it's being done inside of the heichal. So then, apparently, nobody would hold. Kuli amalo plige. Even Rabbi Yanai would agree that it can't be ma'akev. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda says something done outside is not ma'akev. So since this is done outside, apparently, Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, it for sure can't be Ma'akev. The machlokas between Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yochanan about whether it's Ma'akev, L'chora only is meaningful in terms of the Shita of Rabbi Nechemiah. So since Rabbi Nechemiah says it doesn't matter where, anything that's done by Bigdei Lavan is Ma'akev, so then, okay, that seems to be directly what Rabbi Nechemiah is saying. So the Rabbi Yonah, who says that it is Ma'akev, he says, look, Rabbi Nechemiah says it's Ma'akev because it's being done in Bigdei Lavan, whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Not about this, because Bandi Omar Lo Ma'akva Rabbi Yochanan would say, where does Rabbi Nechemiah say that Chukah tells me it's Ma'akev as long as it's Bigdei Lavan anywhere? That's if you're doing an Aveda by Bigdei Lavan. Of course, there it would be Ma'akev. But Hagralah, how can you tell me that the Hagralah would be Ma'akev? Where does it say anywhere that that's an Aveda? That's an idea. It's something you're supposed to do. It doesn't call it an Aveda anywhere. So Hagralah, lav avodahi. Whereas Ikari Amre, just the opposite. According to Rabbi Nechemiah, who holds that everything done by the Kohen Gadol is Ma'akev, so everybody would agree that in this case, Kuli Amalo Plige, that it is Ma'akev. Why not? He has to do it by Bigdei Lavan. That was our original assumption. The only Machlokos would be Dafka Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda. So even though Rabbi Yehuda normally says it's not Ma'akev, so Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and this also should not be Ma'akev because it's not done in the Heichal. And therefore, according to his Hagdorah, of Chukah being a reference only to Bigdei Lavan in the Heichal, then this is not Ma'akev. That's all I'm saying. I'm not making much of a Kiddush. I'm telling you what Rabbi Yehuda says. Masha'inkin, Rabbi Yonah says, no, it's Ma'akev here, even according to the Shita that says normally it's not Ma'akev. It's different. Because Shainei Hacha, remember that there are two reasons for Ikuva. One could be because of the Lashon of Chukah, which does not apply here, according to me, because, after all, Chukah was only said on the Bigdei Lavan Bifnim. But there's another reason why, nonetheless, it would be Ma'akev. And what is that? Shainei Acha Detana Beikra. The Torah uses the word Asher Allah, Allah Hagoral. It mentions two times the word Asher Allah. And therefore, one of them, it says Asher Allah, Allah Hagoral Hashem. And the other one, it says, Asher Allah, Allah, Vagor, Allah, Azazel. So why does the Torah stress twice that? And we understand, just say the Torah, Azazel. So it's telling me, therefore, you better make darn sure that it was Allah, Allah, because if not, it would be possible. So because of that, it is Ma'akev. Obviously, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees because he holds Asher Allah is an adjective. It's not telling me what to do. It's saying the one which. It's not saying Ale, Allah, Goral. Mete. As the Gemara, the way that we just explained it, we got a big problem. Because if you're telling me what Rabbi Yonah holds now, that Shainei Hacha, because Tana Bikra, then how do you understand this price? So listen to this price. The price says, Mitzvah Lagril. It's a mitzvah lechatchila to do the Hagrala, but nonetheless, Imlo Higril, it would be perfectly kosher. Now, tell me who this Braita is going according to. I mean, according to the way we said it originally, so Bishlam alach lishna da amred, that Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, if you're going to tell me, like we did originally, that everybody is made that it's not Ma'akev, Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, because it's being done in Bigdei Lavan in the Azara, and therefore there is no Chukah, fine. So then this Braita is not a problem. The Braita is going on money Rabbi Yehuda. That's absolutely perfect. But if you're going to tell me the second lashon that we just said, alach lishna da amred, you said that they're arguing even Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, you said. And you said that Rabbi Yonah is tining that even Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, that the din is that it would be Ma'akev because of the fact that Shana Alava Katuv La'akev, because it said Asher Allah twice. So then how do you work out the Braita? Bish, Lama Lamadir, Lama Akv. I mean, understand, if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan is very happy with his Braita. Because he'll say, listen, the Braita is going like Rabbi Yehuda, which is my sheet in Rabbi Yehuda, right? But according to the Man D'Omer, Rabbi Yonah, he says, even Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is that because Shana Lavakosuv, La'akev. So who's it going according to? This would be, therefore, a tiyufta on Rabbi Yonah, the way that we explained it, the second approach, that they're arguing up for Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda. answers, Rabbi Yonah. No. What you need to read in the Braita is not mitzvah la'agril, but rather mitzvah la'haniach. I already explained, we said before, everybody is meida. That if you do not do this subsequent hanacha, you don't actually put the goralot on the serim physically over there. It never was shown. It only says asher Allah lava goral. It only says once to that you should actually put the goral on the viniach. That's only once. But in terms of the repetition, why would I hold it over here? It's ma'akev, I leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. So if I change just that little thing, instead of saying mitzvah la'agril, I say mitzvah la'niach, so then everything works out fine according to me too, if we say that the bright is going, aliba de Rabbi Yehuda.